Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Protocol. Today is March 25th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com and listening to years and years and years worth of archives, or by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use, so Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, whatever. Just subscribe to Motor Vitality, and they will just magically show up on your digital listening device. But we love having you on live. This is where the magic happens. This is where we hopefully have some discussions and some ideas and feedback. It's sometimes when we get into those discussions, I actually learn things that I'd either forgotten years ago or that I never knew. And so, the power in numbers. But I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions anybody has? How'd the week go, you guys? Anything out there?
I have something.
Go ahead, Jen.
Remember our cliffhanger from last week? Maybe I should wait till the end. Let everybody hear.
No, go for it. That's a good one.
The cliffhanger from last week, which if some of you are on our Facebook page, you may already know about this, or in the Water Treatment Pros group, you may know about this. But myself and a couple other ladies, Ariane from Ethical H2O over in San Diego, and Lauren from Water Quality Products, we have started up a Facebook group, and the Facebook group is Women Supporting the Water Industry. And this group is not only for women who are in the industry, but those who support the industry. So that was kind of the lead into last week's call, is how do you support those that support you? And I know throughout the years when we have interviewed MV Pros, those that we've hired for our clients, for dealerships, one of the steps in the interview process is that we will invite the significant other. And because it's a predominantly male industry, we have the wife or the girlfriend or the mom or the daughter, somebody who is a big part of the sales professional's life. And because, you can't do this alone. You need the support at home. And so anyways, there are a lot of times that I've become friends with those significant others. And I've also, in talking with them, they're like, he comes home and he starts talking about things that the water softener does, or he starts talking about hardness in the water or iron, and I don't know what he's talking about. So I've had those questions. And that's kind of what I was envisioning this group to be, is for women to be able to ask questions about what is going on in my significant other's life when they're at work. And so we have the group that we've set up, and it's coming along well. I think we have 20-some people, which is good for the first couple of days. We need to start growing. So I'm kind of putting an ask out there. Those of you that are on the call, please ask your significant others to join this group. And it's also fun and empowering each other. We've put a couple of inspirational things up there. Like I said, it's only a couple days old, but my intent is to start putting educational things up there. The Facebook group, you can either search Women Supporting the Water Industry, or it's all the Facebook mumbo jumbo, and Women Supporting Water is kind of the, and it's on my page also. I believe it's on the Motor Vitality Facebook page. If not, I'll throw that up there. But we'd love to have people on there, women. Men are also invited to join, but I would prefer to not have, like, husband and wife or, significant others in there. And we're probably going to talk girl stuff. So beware. Anyway, that was
well,
it.
So Jen, that was one of the questions that I was having as I was doing this. And I know that certainly there could be kind of a specific support group for men as well, but it's kind of an interesting topic. And I'm not criticizing at all. This just comes to mind, and this is probably me being the typical man. But I know that this question will come up, but we do have, even on this call, multiple women, you being one of them, who are in the industry, who have significant others at home, and it's kind of that too. Is there, is this a forum where they could receive support as well? And to ask those questions, the title of it, women who support the water industry, I understand that that narrows it. It's kind of limited, but I know from, I've often thought that it would be very difficult for me to, if roles were reversed, if I was involved with somebody who does what we do, with our job, how difficult it would be to understand her or to, I think it would be tough to be somebody to support somebody who does what we do,
Right.
I'm wondering, where does that support come from? And if not this group, and listen, I'm not in any way trying to hone in on this group that you've created, because I love it. I think you and I have spoken about this for years and years and years and years, that this industry, frankly, needs, just like a lot of industries, we need more representation within the industry. And I love the fact that Stacey, you're on here every day. I don't know if Maria, if you hopped on, but and what you bring to this call and to the industry, and of course you, Jen, you know how valuable I think your input and insights and contributions to the industry are. So I'm thrilled that we have representation here, even within our small group, but there is that challenge is, it's not limited to just the female spouse. What is your response to that? And how, what would you suggest to somebody like me that's a little jealous that you have created a support group for women?
Well, for men. So one of two things, either we could have you or Corey create a group, or no, the intent is anybody's welcome. And it says right in the about, anybody's welcome. And I agree that, I think sometimes it might be a little bit more difficult for the significant others who are male to, because wives might be out late running sales appointments. They may be concerned about having their wives out there and what happens if some weirdo, that is, they're going into sell and it's just a weirdo by himself. Now, as many years as I've been in the industry, it's going on probably, 15 years now. Yesterday, by the way, was my 11-year anniversary with Motor Vitality. But it's been 15 years that I've been.
Somebody would have called you and said thank you. God, you have just a horrible boss.
But in all my years, I've never had a bad experience. So I don't want to frighten anybody, especially, men who, their significant others are out there. I don't want to plant that seed in their head, but I'm sure it does. That seed probably already planted, but no, they are welcome to join, most definitely. But again, we may be talking about girl stuff. So yeah, I'll just leave it at that. We are being recorded in this professional.
But you guys are going to need some stuff explained to you. So doesn't it make sense to have some men in there?
Oh, stop it.
Sorry.
I've already blocked you. I don't care if you have a girl's name. I've already blocked you.
Right. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts about that? Before I get myself in trouble and any more trouble, and then we jump into our topic.
Maria, Stacy, do you mind me asking really quick, what would you like to see from that group? I know we had the question, and that's another thing. If they join, please answer the questions, because myself and the moderators would like to know, what do people want to see on this page? You know, so far, most of who we have a couple who are significant others, but most of everybody else are women that are in the industry. Maria.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi. Hi. So a happy anniversary. And I have to agree with you. I have not done this as long as you, but I have not had a bad experience where I felt unsafe in a home. So just to put that out there. I think the group is a good idea. I don't know what I expect from it yet. But yes, I think it would be it's a good tool and a good way to support each other.
I also want to add, before I forget, because I don't know if I added this before, is that like office staff. That's another thing that when I've gone into offices and they're like, yeah, the guys are coming in from the shop and they're talking about, you know, the water softening cycles, and they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And I have no idea what they're talking about. And I want to be able to listen in on the conversation and understand what they're talking about and possibly help them. So that was the other part of it, is, you know, those that are supporting the industry, office staff, managers, everybody's welcome. Stacy, is there anything in particular you'd like to see? I think Stacy's on. Or maybe she's not on. Okay.
Thought I'd heard her, but anyway, okay. No, that's good. Anybody else have anything before we jump into our topic today? So our topic is one that we have talked about a lot of times before. I wanted to kind of hone in on a very specific part of it today. We're going to talk about, you know, creative business. And what I wanted to focus on a little bit today is, why? You know, why? This is something that every company, that every sales organization that I've ever seen or worked with, they all talk about that, especially in the interview process, right? They, you know, we need you to generate some of your own business. We need you to create some of your own business. And we talked about this even recently about, you know, what does that mean to people? Does it mean door knocking? Does it mean doing this or that? You know, what does it mean to create business? So I don't want to necessarily talk about the manner, the methods today on how to create business. I really wanted to just spend a few minutes talking about why it is important from a salesperson's perspective to create business. I mean, why, you know, I remember one time I had hired a guy when I was regional manager at the dealership I used to serve in. And I had told him all the way through the interview process. I mean, some of you who've been on this call or that have been through the interview know that it's a pretty extensive interview process. We spend a lot of time talking to people. We're constantly asking them telling them, you are going to need to create your own business. You're going to need to generate your own business. And then I had this guy, I kept telling him through training, you need to create your own business. And finally, I ended up having to let him go because he just wasn't doing the things necessary to generate that business and to generate his own leads. And when we were talking, as he was getting close, he was like, yeah, I know you told me that, but everybody says that. I didn't think you really meant it. Like, I don't know how I can be more clear. But then I realized that there are all these companies out there, and that's exactly the way it is, where they, you know, they say, well, you need to create your own business. You need to generate your own business. But then they don't really expect it. And everything becomes driven around the leads that are given to the salesperson. So I wanted to spend just a few minutes today talking about why, from a sales professional's perspective, it's important to generate your own business, to create your own business. I want to open it up and ask you guys first, why do you think, and it'd be interesting, I mean, you know, from many of you are sales professionals here on this call, why do you, or do you think it's important? I mean, you know, you're probably aware that most companies, they kind of have that, right? You got to generate your own, you know, through referrals or whatever. Do you agree that it's important to generate your own business? Do you think that the company should supply you all of the leads that you have? And if you do agree that it's important to create your own business, why? Why is it important? Anybody?
I think when you create your own business, you usually have a better opportunity for higher closing ratios.
Yeah.
You've already built that relationship with them. Or if it's a referral, people are more likely to purchase on a referral than they are on just going through the Yellow Pages or Google.
You're dating yourself, Jen.
Dating myself.
So it is true. I mean, it is absolutely true that when I was in sales, I had my average closing ratio was 80 to 90%. Now that sounds like it's something really spectacular, but the truth is it would never have been that high if I had had house leads. When I was in sales, I literally, the most house leads I ever had in any one year was 23 house leads. 23 house leads for the entire year. So I averaged roughly 2 a month that year. And that year I sold nearly 350 units. And that closing ratio, what I liked it, because exactly what you said, Jen, they were referrals. They were created. I already had the relationships. And it was way easier to close the ones that had not gone. These people, the sales that I had, the opportunities I had, they didn't go to, they weren't looking at the Yellow Pages. They weren't shopping around. They weren't calling 3 different companies to come out. Okay. It was, it was basically, you know, they had a relationship with me already. So yeah, the closing ratio. And I got to tell you, you know, working those evenings and weekends, if I was going to put myself out there and drive out there and go do that stuff, I wanted it that way. I didn't like it when the 1 or 2 out of 10 didn't close. I can't even imagine working a job where I was only closing, you know, 6 out of 10. That would drive me batty. That seems like an awful lot of work and an awful lot of rejection for fewer yeses, you know. And the way you increase that for sure is to have creative business, to have the relationships. So good. That's one reason why. Why else would we want to create our own business?
Hello, Kelly.
Hey, Maria.
Go ahead. Job security.
I love it. No,
right.
Keep going. Keep going. Explain.
Right. It gives you, I'm not relying on somebody else to give me jobs, to give me leads. I get my own.
That is so key. And for so many reasons, Maria, I 100% agree with you, 100% that is one of the biggest reasons to create business. So job security for 2 reasons. Number one, it gives you some income security, right? So job security and income security in that you, you're not relying this. We've got this one client that we're currently working with that has been doing, they've been putting a ton of money into marketing, and they just switched marketing companies, and they started doing a bunch of stuff with Google ads and stuff like that, and it screwed it up. So what leads were coming in to the company either dried up, or they started getting just all these non-qualified leads that were going to this company. And meaning, you know, they were at one point for about 2 weeks, because they had done something with Google AdWords, the people were calling thinking that my client was the local water authority, right? If I were in sales at that point, you know, and had been receiving a certain number of leads, of house leads from the company, and then suddenly I went a month where they're dried up, or they're not qualified, where I'm running out, you know, not, especially if I'm, you know, my financial well-being is mostly due on what I sell on the commission. That would hurt. That would hurt a lot. The way to combat that, there are two ways to handle that. Either get another job in sales where they have leads, I guess, that they can give you, or take advantage of the more time that you have, begin to build those relationships, nurture those relationships, create that business, so that the thing with having a kind of a portfolio of your own referrals and your own relationships is that you are not relying on the leads that the company gives you. So if they drop down, I mean, it can hurt, you know, if you rely on a certain percentage of leads to come from the company, that certainly helps. But having your own there, that gives you the income security. And then the flip side of that, Maria, and I don't know if it's hard for me to imagine this part being a factor with you, knowing you as I do, but I know for me this was. There were times, frankly, that there's no other way to describe it, but managers would come in and give me a directive that I didn't agree with. And I would, frankly, I think you could, there's no other way to describe it, but I would be insubordinate. I mean, I would flat out tell them no and you know, or disregard, completely, blatantly disregard their instructions. This is when I was in sales. And now for me, it was partially principle, okay, but I'd never had a fear of losing my job because I brought in way more business to the company than they brought to me. I mean, I never did anything unethical or anything, you know, to harm the company in any way. So it's not that. But I'm thinking in particular one time they wanted me to go work 2.5 hours away on a Sunday at this at a home show that, you know, and Sundays were my family days. I had already worked the Sundays in the last several home shows. They kept sticking me in on that Sunday. And this particular one, you know, there was not a reason to take away that time with my family to go up there. And I gave them plenty of notice that I wasn't going to be there, but I flat out told them, no, I wasn't going to go do it. And well, if you don't show up, then you're not going to, you're not going to work here. I'm like, okay, should I bring in my stuff? And next thing I know, I get a call from the owner. How come you quit? I'm like, I didn't quit. I thought I just got fired. No, you're fine. Now that the only reason that happened was, number one, we had an owner that did not support their management, which I took advantage of, I admit. Number two, they couldn't really let me go. I mean, because I brought in so much. So when you talk job security, and by the way, in case you are wondering, I am not recommending insubordination by anybody. You should, hopefully you're not put in a situation where you have to make those kinds of decisions. But even so, I am not advocating insubordination. I'm just saying that if you are creating your own business and bringing those opportunities into the company, you do become more valuable to the company and it becomes more difficult to replace you. And knowing you, Maria, I mean, I can tell you the relationships that you build and the referrals that you have, it would be hard to replace you. That's even what you've done in the industry for a year, you know, so I'm definitely not encouraging you to be insubordinate in any way, just so you know. Let's just be clear about that. But no, what else? What else, you guys? This is exactly where I wanted to go with this topic, just to get an idea. I wanted to get you guys thinking about it. So where else?
So some companies have two-tier pay structures, which means if you generate your own business, it's considered a creative, and you get paid a higher commission. If it's a house lead where the business owner has to pay for, you know, advertising or whatever else, then it's, or, you know, and somebody calls into the office, then it's considered a house lead. And with that two-tier pay structure, I know we had an MV Pro that called me up after a couple of years and And he says, Jen, you know, I need a raise. I said, well, what do you mean you need a raise? And he says, well, I sold more last year than I did the year before, but I made less money. And so we went back on the reports and we looked and we saw that, yeah, you took more house leads. You were selling a lot more house leads than you were self-gens. And I mean, before it was like 70% creative, 30 house, and then he flip-flopped that. And I said, you want a 5%? If this, with this company, it was 5% more. I said, if you want a 5% raise, start generating more of your own business. And once it was pointed out, he's like, I didn't even realize that I was doing more house leads than I was self-gen. So that right there, give yourself a raise.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if you are on a two, on a single tiered, you know, a flat rate pay, get it, you still get the raise because of the income level. You know, I mean, because
right.
you're selling more. I mean, the and I got to tell you, for those of you that have been here a little while and I have generated one truly, I mean, look back at your sales and say, how many can I point to that would not have come into this company, that would not have come here without me? I mean, sometimes you can, you know, creative is one where it was a referral, but they were already familiar with you. Maybe they saw some advertising or whatever. It's a great feeling to have generated a lead that simply would not have existed without your effort. That's a good feeling, the sense of accomplishment. You know, it does make you feel valuable. You know, it makes you feel good. And hopefully you work with a company that recognizes that effort as well. You know, you can duplicate that. That's the other part of it, right, is, you know, and that can be a whole other topic for even leadership or management, you know, on how to incentivize that creative business. I mean, the two-tiered structure is definitely there. But you know, to make sure that you're working with an organization that appreciates the value, you know, that appreciates the effort that it takes to generate those relationships and bring them into the company. You know, people, they want to feel appreciated. I think you guys probably do. I appreciate you all, by the way. All right. So last 2 minutes, any final thoughts on that?
Kelly, I know of somebody who worked with a company that they sat in the office 4 hours a day, and they kind of frowned upon, you know, going out and generating their own leads, and they preferred that they stay in the office. And this was a company that had put out a lot of advertising. So the phone rang a lot, but there were times that the phone wasn't ringing. So this particular sales professional, you know, started building relationships and going to BNI meetings and things like that. And during those slow times, everybody was sitting around complaining that, you know, well, I don't have any sales. My paycheck was horrible. But then here he was still out selling and getting a decent paycheck. So, you know, that's to back up what Maria said is, you're in charge of your own destiny. And when I when I'm doing the hiring process and interviewing sales professionals, that's something that they like about, you know, commission-based is they're like, I'm in charge of my own destiny. Nobody's going to tell me what my paycheck's going to be. I'm the one that has to work towards it. And so that's,
Agreed. Okay. Any final thoughts? Anything else? All right, guys, we will call it there. I will talk to you next month, if not before. Thank you, everybody. I really do appreciate you taking the time to come on and your input. And everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week. All right, thanks.